The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians is now streaming on Hulu.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Thanks for joining us. Middle show of the work week. Let's get it. We've got a lot still on the plate, on the table. See, I relate everything to food, and so plate kind of works for me. There's a lot still on our plate. It's a smorgasbord, a buffet-style smorgasbord, where you can find a little something for everybody. My husband knows by now that food is my love language. Sarcasm is a pretty close second, but food is definitely my love language. The first time he took me out to eat, I ate everything on my plate, and he was pretty blown away. He couldn't believe I ate all of it, and he brings it up sometimes and laughs because he was happy that I just was myself and wasn't trying to make some kind of impression that I thought would be what he'd want to see. I mean, I was hungry, number one. Number two, you paid for it. Why wouldn't I eat the whole thing? Anyway, he likes to tell that story and laugh, but I kind of feel like, hey, I mean, why waste good food? And also, if you're going to put your good money down to take me out to dinner, then I want to make sure we get our money's worth. So since then, he just knows that there's only one thing that comes between me and him, or that comes before him, and that's food. I definitely can get hangry. I can definitely get hangry. That applies to work hours as well. So I very often bring snacks, and sometimes when I don't bring enough snacks or I forget my snacks, I'll start with the growling stomach halfway through the show. And then producer Jay and I, we have to raid the vending machines. I don't know how many people in the world still use vending machines. Are they still as popular as they used to be? Or have they gone the way of pinball machines?
No, they sure are popular here because the snacks are there and depleted within 3 days. So
yeah, that's true. It's because probably the cheapest thing in New York City. Try to find a meal in Lower Manhattan and the vending machine is probably all we can afford. For you and I, that's the case. It's funny, I used to work with Isaac, who was the technical director on the show, and he ordered food almost every night. And he would ask me, do you want this? Do you want that? Who can afford those prices? And now, that was, 6 years ago? I think that he's been gone about 6 years now. Now, I have no clue how much more expensive that food would be, but I couldn't afford it.
Have you seen the fees that they put in on like the Grubhub or the Uber Eats or whatever?
Mm-mm.
$11 convenience tax on top of a $6 service tax on top of a $3 service.
Wow.
You got a tip too, of course. It's You order like one cheeseburger from McDonald's for 99 cents. It's $33 before to get it to the door.
Oh my gosh. The convenience is not worth that much to me. But there are times, like I say, when I forget my snacks and I have to get to the vending machine. So Jay and I, we contribute to keeping those vending machines in business. Also, sometimes we need added caffeine. And so that's another way, another reason that we raid the machines. And so, yes, there are definitely 12 years of evidence that would point to talking, burning brain cells. Brain cells, duh. There goes the perfect show. Talking, burning calories. Let's hope talking doesn't burn brain cells.
Imagine that.
That would be drugs, not talking. Although I suppose I completely blew that, right? Maybe, just maybe I'm hungry and that's the reason why.
I think the vending machine's empty already.
Whenever I'm not in a great mood or you don't feel like I'm myself, that should always be your first guess is, are you hungry? I could be in a Snickers commercial. One of those Snickers commercials.
I haven't seen one of those in a while. Those were great.
I haven't either. Those were terrific.
With the medieval people, what, the Vikings maybe, were they actually?
Yeah, but there was also who was it? There was a singer, a really popular, gosh.
Yes.
Shoot. Gladys Knight, maybe? It might have been Gladys Knight. But I'm not sure. Anyway, there was one singer just...
I know exactly which one you're talking
about.
Going
back to the 60s and 70s, maybe, who's really popular, iconic voice, and she was part of that as well. Shoot. Huh.
But you're not you when you're hungry.
Yeah, did you Google it?
I'm trying to find it.
Okay. Anyway, that's definitely me. That should always be the first guess, is when I'm not myself... You're not you, Amy, when you're hungry.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of the Betty White one.
Oh, that was funny, too, yeah. But this was a different one. There was a singer that was sitting in the backseat of a vehicle as they're driving, and she's really hungry, so they give her a Snickers. If anybody knows, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. Lots of your questions coming in for Ask Amy Anything. We'll get to that next hour here on the show. And no, I have zero clue who will win the Super Bowl in 2025, but somehow that always ends up being a question. Is my team going to make the playoffs? Who's going to win this series? Blah, blah, blah. Well, we're not going to ask you that because I honestly don't care who you think is going to win the Super Bowl next February. But I do know that Tuesday marked 100 days from the NFL's first game of the season, 100 days to kickoff. If you didn't see it, I retweeted a post from the NFL. 100 days to kickoff. So I was wondering, how much do you miss football? Do you miss football a lot right now? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you miss football? You can check out the poll that producer Jay will be putting up momentarily on Twitter, again, at Amy After Hours, or on our Facebook page. And then if you want to, you can weigh in 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We will get to Caitlin Clark and her best game as a pro in front of a bunch of Pacers who are now on summer vacation, as well as a bunch of Indianapolis Colts. So not quite a sellout crowd at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, but star-studded crowd. And that's what's happening. I think that's really interesting, where athletes from other sports are showing up to watch Caitlin play. They want to be part of it. That to me is really cool. That's validation of what she's doing. That it's not just us as fans who have no idea how the game is played. And yes, I'm being extremely snarky. This is about other athletes who appreciate what she's done and what she's doing. And if you've been watching her through her first 8 games as a pro, and I know many of you have, my mom was watching the game on Tuesday evening in Houston. You can tell she's getting better. She's figuring it out in the WNBA. The aggressiveness is there, but it's the aggressiveness now combined with the intel that she's learned about how others are defending her. I don't know if she'll be the WNBA Rookie of the Year, but I know that she's already making inroads in 8 games. And I really appreciate how she handles questions that come at her that are maybe intended, to stir up trouble, or at the very least, to be somewhat controversial, to keep this narrative going about other people in the WNBA, other players, coaches, fans in some cases, who are anti-Caitlin Clark. Remember, we had a conversation last week after the Fever were in Seattle to take on the Storm. And Alyssa, who is a TV reporter and anchor from Seattle, joined us. Alyssa Charleston, that conversation is on our podcast, and the link is up on both of our social media sites. She talked about how she does feel like it's a little bit of envy, but mostly because players want to know or can't figure out why it is that all of a sudden there's all this attention where players from their generation or from their classes, from their teams, are as talented, have worked just as hard. The game's been around. The WNBA's been around for almost 30 years now. I mean, I can't figure out either why Caitlin Clark is the one that set women's basketball on fire. I wouldn't tell you she's the best player in the WNBA or the best player in women's basketball. And yet this is the chosen one who is bringing fans to the game in droves. And it's not just in Indiana or where they go. I'm not sure if you heard the stat or saw the stat. Through these first few weeks of the WNBA season, attendance has increased by a third on average across the board at all the league's arenas, not just in Indiana, where, of course, they're tripling their attendance now. Remember last year they were the second lowest when it came to average attendance? I think it was right around 7,000. So, yeah, they're blowing that number out of the water. But across the board in the WNBA, in every arena, attendance is up on average by a third. So it's now up closer to 8,500 fans per game. And that's only going to get higher as we head through the season. So there's a lot of reasons why Caitlin's attracting new eyeballs. And people are showing up and they're buying her jersey. And it means a lot when other professional athletes show up as well, right? Because they recognize this is something special. So take our poll, because the Colts, they're still 100 days out from, well, actually more than 100 days out from their first game, because the first game is Thursday, September 5th. I'll actually be in Dallas that night. More about that as we get closer. Be doing my first ever show from Dallas. I've been wanting to do this for years and haven't had an opportunity. So first ever show from Dallas coming up to start the NFL season. We're 100 days out. Mandatory OTAs, they're on the horizon. We haven't quite gotten there yet. But on a scale of 1 to 10, with still 3-plus months to go, how much do you miss NFL football? Not just any old football, but NFL. I know a lot of you are huge college fans. That includes my Hubs. We started the week with a tragedy in the world of golf. 30-year-old Grayson Murray, according to his family, took his own life after withdrawing from the Colonial in Fort Worth. He said he wasn't feeling well. PGA put him down as withdrawn due to illness. But by the next morning, he was gone. Made the decision to end it because he felt like he had no better option, right? Because there was no hope for Grayson Murray. And I feel like his story is one of both triumph and tragedy, because he had spoken about getting sober, conquering those demons when it came to alcohol, staying sober for the better part of a year, and then getting engaged. And certainly things go wrong. People relapse. They make poor decisions. That's just human nature. I don't know if there was something along those lines that was part of this decision. I don't know if we'll ever get any more information, only that his family is heartbroken and they had traveled this road with him and believed that he was healthier. So it was a shock for the world of golf, and for the sports world because he was just 30 years old and was playing some of the best golf of his life. I mentioned at the time, going back 2 years ago, a star catcher for JMU, Lauren Burnett, coming off, I think it was conference championships. She had a great game, took her own life hours later to the shock of her teammates. As you can imagine, this is something that very often people do not see coming, especially if the person who's struggling is really good at hiding it. And so we tell these stories and we talk about mental health, and the hope is that people who are struggling themselves, they'll know they're not alone and they will try to get help, believing that it doesn't have to end this way. There's always hope. I say that to friends and family when they talk to me about things they're going through. Even in the darkest nights, there are always, always reasons to hope. And in telling the story about Lexi Thompson, and in telling the story about Stetson Bennett, and in telling the story of Grayson Murray, which is far more tragic, well, then the conversation about mental health becomes a little more mainstream. And we've got, in the wake of Grayson Murray's death, one of the most accomplished women's one of the most accomplished women's golfers, Lexi Thompson, who's a 15-time winner, deciding that she will retire. And she wrote a bunch of her emotions and her reasons on social media, but also at the U.S. Women's Open, she got emotional talking about it.
Being out here can be a lot. It can be lonely. Sorry if I get emotional. I said I wasn't going to. I just think, you know, especially with what's happened in golf as of recent too, a lot of people don't realize a lot of what we go through as a professional athlete. I mean, and I'll be the last one to say, like, throw me a pity party. This is the last thing I want. But, you know, we're doing what we love. We're trying the best every single day. And, you know, we're not perfect. We're humans. Words hurt. And it's hard to overcome sometimes.
So that's what she said in her comments preparing for the U.S. Women's Open. But she also did a video on social media, and I wanted to read a couple of her comments from that video. Although this has been an amazing journey, it hasn't always been an easy one. Since I was 12, as a golfer, my life has been a whirlwind of constant attention, scrutiny, and pressure. The cameras are always on and capturing every swing and every moment on and off the golf course. Social media never sleeps, with comments and criticisms flooding in from around the world. It can be exhausting maintaining a smile on the outside while grappling with struggles on the inside. By opening up about my battles, I've been able to connect with others who feel isolated in their struggles, offering them a sense of community and understanding. Each time I share, it reinforces the message that it's okay to not be okay, and that seeking support is a sign of strength, not weakness. And I agree with all of that. She's not even 30 years old, but no doubt what happened with Grayson Murray rocked her and forced her to reconsider. And I appreciate that she mentions loneliness. I'm nowhere near in the same boat as Lexi, but I certainly know what it's like to be alone in many respects, walking your path, right? Now, so for me, it's being a female in what is a largely male-dominated sports radio industry and not having a lot of females to walk with or even to emulate. It's a lonely road. And while I wouldn't say in any part of my life that I've ever been a loner, I've had to learn how to be alone in this business. Right? I can, thankfully, Maggie Gray comes into the studio right after I exit now. But she's only been doing that show for the last, what, 3-4 months. And so before that, I could go months, even years at a time without seeing another female here in the office. Now and then I'll cross paths with the makeup artist who gets the morning crews ready on our New York affiliate. But for the most part, it's all men. And I'm not saying you can't have friends who are men. I absolutely do. But the loneliness of being a female in this business, now it's far more exacerbated going back to my days at ESPN. It was worse there. That was much more like a locker room before they cleaned it up. It's not been that way quite as badly here. Though when I first started, I felt that way. I felt ostracized. And I do understand what Lexi means about the loneliness. You can be front and center. You can be performing, in her case, for millions of people who are watching or showing up at her tournaments. In my case, it's speaking to an audience. And you can very often get lost in what is the cesspool of social media. Even the compliments don't mean as much, really, because they're from people you don't know. And the words that she talks about, they absolutely hurt. They sting. I mean, I've said this before. Whenever I'm asked about social media, this is where I start. The first time I ever stumbled into a chat room, and this is going back before Twitter and Facebook, but I stumbled into a chat room and there were, you know, different rooms on this website. So I stumbled into a room that was about media. And as I was scrolling through, this is back when I lived in Oklahoma, I came upon a thread about me. And it was vicious. Lies being told about me, things that just weren't true, that didn't reflect me or who I, and they were just nasty about who, what I looked like, who I was as a broadcaster, people who claimed to know me that I didn't know, saying things about me that weren't accurate. And in that moment, not only was it so painful that I cried, but there's no recourse. Public figures cannot fight back on social media. It's a losing battle every time. Now, if you're like, say, a Clay Travis, who is the founder of OutKick, been purchased by Fox, but he loves to stir up whatever trouble he can on social. And it doesn't matter to him at all. People are nasty to him, and he finds it all amusing. That's just not me. So I had to learn how to process, filter, dump when it comes to social media. But I understand some of these athletes, especially some who are younger, it's hard to read that crap. It's hard to see that. It's one thing if people are criticizing you for what you've done in your professional life. But as a female who works in sports and social media, you can just expect to be ripped for what you look like, for people to say things about your hair, your body, your smile, your nose, your weight, your clothes, not to mention your voice and your knowledge and the fact that women don't play football. So what are you doing talking about it? I mean, I understand why Lexi would cite social media, because it can be brutal. It is a cesspool. There are very few redeeming qualities of social media. I try to use it as a positive and to enhance what we do here on the radio, but it will never replace what we do on the show. That's what I tell my students, right? Just be careful. Take it with a grain of salt. It can become addictive, and then it's a problem. And she's been doing this since she was 12, right? I mean, this is something that she's been doing. She was the youngest golfer ever to qualify for the U.S. Women's Open as a 12-year-old in 2007. She made the cut in the major, in a major, as a 14-year-old in 2009. She's been in it as a child prodigy for nearly 20 years. So she's been in it a lot longer. She's competed in the Olympics. She's represented the U.S. in the Solheim Cup. She's won a major. I mean, everyone who's anyone in golf knows who Lexi Thompson is. And so it's not like she just started yesterday. I mean, she's been around a long time. She's been in it a long time. And I certainly as I say, can identify in some way and understand. But also she's looking forward to doing something different with her life because golf has really dominated her life since she was a preteen.
I've been out here, this is my 14th full-time year, but you know, golf has been my life ever since I was 5 years old, tournaments when I was seven. So I haven't really known much of a life different, but it's been an amazing one. This sport has taught me a lot, and I've learned so much along the way, I've built so many friendships and relationships. So I'm looking forward to what life has in store.
She's had such an amazing career. I think I've gotten to represent beyond the team with her a couple of times representing her country. I think she does an amazing job for the tour. She spends so much time going to each pro-am party. She really dedicates her time to growing the game. And it's sad to see that she's obviously leaving and not going to be out here with us anymore. But she's had an amazing career, and I wish her the best in this new chapter of her life.
That's Nelly Korda, who's the biggest star on the LPGA Tour right now. A couple of things that belong on Lexi Thompson's resume that are really neat. You may remember that last year she was the seventh woman ever to compete in a PGA event. This was the Shriners Children's Open in Las Vegas. And actually, in the second round, she broke 70. Only two women in history have ever broken 70 in a PGA Tour event. And she nearly made the cut. She was very close to making the cut. And also, while she only has one major win to her credit, she's finished runner-up or third 8 times. So she's come very close to winning a handful of majors. And so good for her. Good for Lexi for understanding where she is, what she wants, what she doesn't want. Never an easy decision. But it's far a better option to walk away now, recognizing that you don't want to put your whole self into it anymore, than to be in a situation where it becomes oppressive or you actually hate it. Michelle Wee, she walked away from tennis. She walked away from golf after years and years going back to her preteen days and just didn't want to do it anymore. Got married, wanted to have a family. On Twitter, at Amy After Hours. On our Facebook page, too. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Coming up, Caitlin Clark in the best game of her pro career. And I have, when Marco gets back in here, something funny that I heard on the radio.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A news station, but it was actually sports. It made me laugh out loud, and I wanted to make sure I shared it with you guys. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
You're never happy to lose. Like, it's not fun. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I think there's just a lot of things to build on it. And, you know, that's what I'm trying to just be as positive as possible, continue to learn, continue to stack days.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That's the voice of one Caitlin Clark, albeit on a video call, so a little bit muddied. But she admits it's tough to lose. And last night, the Indiana Fever hosted the other team in the NBA, WNBA, that only had one win. And it was another close game, and it was another loss, and they are now mounting. But if you are only seeing the record, then you're missing what is the larger point. She is playing a lot better. The team itself is playing a lot better. And it is a project. There's a reason why they had the number one overall pick in back-to-back years. So it's been a lot of fun to see her grow. Already through 8 games, you can see a major difference in how she's adjusting to the speed of the game and, of course, the veteran women that she's playing against, plus the teammates she's playing with. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Last night, her best game as a pro, 30 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, 3 steals, 3 block shots. This was a game at home in front of 16,000-plus fans, including members of the Pacers, because they're free now, and members of the Colts, too. And so she's drawing star power everywhere she goes, and you can tell that she's picking it up as she goes.
I think I've improved a lot since the beginning and the start of the season. I think the biggest thing for me is, like, once I get in there, I still get a little indecisive, and that's honestly where a lot of my turnovers are still coming from. Just like a little indecision once I do get my feet in the paint. But I think I've done a better job of, you know, probing and finding people open, or you know, finishing at the rim. I think I've done a better job as well of, like, understanding who's guarding me at the 4 and 5 position when I am getting those screens, and, you know, kind of picking them apart from there. Some are a little more athletic and some are a little bit slower that I can get around. So I think that's definitely been something that I've grown in a lot over the course of these first 8 games. So that'll continue to get a lot better, continue to take care of the ball a little bit better and find people and not be a little, you know, indecisive. Got to make decisions a little bit faster there once I do get my feet in the paint.
How often do you hear that in pro sports, or even in college sports, when there's a lot of familiarity and you know the other team really well, the other teams really well, the other personnel, it becomes a little bit easier to game plan for? I mean, we talk about it with a brand new pitcher for which there is not a whole lot of tape or of, you know, ability to scout. Same thing for Caitlin now. She is unfamiliar with a lot of the players that she's facing against in the WNBA, and so she's having to learn new personnel. And that's the case anytime you go to a new league or a new school. If you're talking college, you have to get to know different players in your conference. But it's she's picking it up pretty quickly. It's interesting too, because a lot of people are pointing out to the fact that she's drawing so much attention from the defense, and that makes sense. She's dangerous with the ball in her hands, or with the ball not in her hands, but always moving to try to get available and to be open for her teammates to find her. Well, Ari McDonald, who's one of the Sparks guards, people were kind of pointing to the fact that she was playing really physical and that she was also talking smack while guarding Caitlin.
I think everybody's physical with me. You know, they get away with things that, you know, probably other people don't get away with. And it's tough, but that's just the fact of the matter. It's like, this is a very physical game. But yeah, I mean, you're going to get pressure. That's just professional basketball. So I think it is what it is, honestly.
You know what? They're only making her better. The more she has to, this is similar to Steph Curry. He got so much physical defense when he first got into the league, because the MO on him is, if you guard him tough and you wear him out, he's so little, he's not gonna be able to withstand the rigors of a 48-minute game. He's not gonna be as good at the end as he is at the beginning. He's not gonna be as fresh. He's gonna be exhausted. And he obviously has learned to withstand the rigors of not just long games, but long seasons and all the physical defense that he sees. They're only making her better. The more that they push her to the limit, the more they force her to get better at her craft. And they're, yeah, all of these tough early games are going to force her to get better as a player. And all around, her game will be elevated, as will that of her teammates. Now, a little bit later on, she was asked how she feels welcome by the league, or has she been welcomed by the league? And I really do love her answer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now that Marco Belletti is here in studio, I have to tell you about this funny minute that I heard on one of our sister radio stations in New York City. So for people who don't know, we're located in Lower Manhattan. It's the network, Infinity Sports Network, that has its studios here. But there are also seven local radio stations that are owned by the same company. Some of them are music. Some of them are sports. Mm-hmm. Our sports affiliate, WFAN in New York. Some of them are news. Mm-hmm. You know sometimes that news reporters and anchors, they are asked to read a sports story or talk about a sports story, and you can tell right away that they're a fish out of water.
Yes.
Okay. Well, as I was driving home from the grocery store on Tuesday morning, in the wake of the Celtics sweeping out the Pacers, mm-hmm. and of course the amazing calls from our friend Sean Grandy, who is the longtime play-by-play voice of the Celtics, mm-hmm. this is what I hear on one of our local New York news radio stations.
Celtics swept the Indiana Pacers last night. You know, the same Pacers that outlasted the injured Knicks in the last round of the playoffs. Final call here from Celtics Radio's Chris Hess.
Tatum against Turner. Tatum pushes off, steps back, three in the air, no good. Rebound, Drew Holiday, 4 seconds to go. Kick out Jaylen. Can they get to him to commit the foul? They cannot, and it's over. It's over. The Boston Celtics swarm. Floor.
And with that sweep, the Celtics are heading back to their second finals appearance in 3 seasons.
Now, as you can imagine, my reaction is, who the hell is Chris Hess? I'm thinking, how is that mistake made? Because Sean Grandy he's known throughout basketball circles. He's been with the Celtics since their last NBA finals and their last NBA title. He's been there for decades. Anyway, all day long, I wake up and I'm still trying to figure out who the heck is Chris Hess. And then I come into work and in our computer system, I see the name mm-hmm. Chris Hess. He is a part-time tape operator who works here in our newsroom.
Celtics Radio's Chris Hess.
He's the one who put that cut into our system.
Right.
Same computer system and same accessible system that this news radio station uses, because it's a different floor, right? It's right here in the building. Someone, and I'm assuming it wasn't the anchor's mistake. Someone, probably a producer, who may not know sports either, hands him, but clearly doesn't know how these cuts are marked in our system either, hands the anchor a piece of paper, and it says Celtics radio voice Chris Hess. Mm-hmm. He's just some dude who works in our newsroom.
Yes, he is.
I mean, he's a hardworking kid, loves sports, but he's not Sean Grandy.
No.
And it took me all day to figure out who the hell is Chris Hess. Yeah. I almost texted Sean to say, does someone named Chris work with you? Because I had no idea. So anyway, I'm going to have producer Jay cut this up and send it to Sean, because he will get a major kick out of it. I mean, poor guy. Of all the names to get wrong, it's a little bit like, I mean, a couple weeks ago, remember? At our New York affiliate, someone was cutting Nick's audio from TV, where Mike Breen not only does the national broadcast, but is the longtime TV play-by-play voice of the Knicks. Like in New York City. How do you not know Mike Breen? Someone labeled him in the system as Mike Green.
I know, with an E at the end.
And so I feel badly for the anchor. I'm sure it wasn't his error.
It wasn't. I actually know who that is because I know that voice and he knows sports. So it wasn't him. There's no chance. They just gave it to him and he read it.
Poor Sean.
So Celtics Sean Radio's Grandy, Chris Hess.
Sean Grandy, I want you to know that I nearly called into the radio station on your behalf, but then I just chose to laugh about it and decided I would turn it into a radio segment. Poor Sean.
And
the thing is, if you play his final call, Sean crushes these things. Wow. Like Celtics Radio Network tweeted videos of Sean from last night, from Monday night. He is all into it. He is one of the best play-by-play announcers on the planet. Mm-hmm. But Chris Hess just got credit for his calls. So,
like I said, good for Chris.
Uncomfortable.
So yes, Grandy and Max, we know who you are, and we have.
You know what?
Tried
if
to set
Maxwell
the record
was
straight.
On that call, I wonder if they would have got a second name. Now I'm curious who else would have been on it.
Chris Hess and
I don't know.
Jay Boccioni.
Possibly.
Is he's another one who put sound in the system.
True, my name might be on there somewhere. So.
You know, it's got to be more than just that though, because in our system, it just comes up as C Hess. It doesn't give your full name.
It does with him. He put it in there.
Oh, he put the whole name in.
Yeah, so it says okay. Operator.
Because usually it's just the first initial.
It says credit attribute, and then you attribute Celtics Radio Network, and it says operator Chris Hess.
Oh, he actually wrote it in the bottom.
Well, and the thing is, right, it does say operator Chris Hess, but it also says announcer attribution, the line above that.
It's just somebody going too fast and not knowing the difference and not realizing that it's a major difference.
Don't you worry, Sean. We've got your back. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And oh, yes, I am going to send this clip to Sean so he can hear it in all of its glory.
Chris Hess.
Celtics radio voice, Chris Hess.
Celtics radio's
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SMOOTH at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SMOOTH. Enjoy.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians is now streaming on Hulu.
Chris Hess.
I almost drove off the road.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
All right.
Here's Bennett in a shot, a save. It takes a bounce, loose side of the agenda. They cross the line, they score, and the game is tied with 11:15 to go. Here in the second period, it's tied up at one.
Barkov here on the near boards, down low. Kachuk back for Barkov here on the near side. 47 seconds in the power play. Barkov, Kachuk in front. Bouncing puck, jammed it. They score! A power play goal! Carter Verhaeghe on the backhand, and the Panthers take the lead. It's 2-1.
Here's Panarin, cross-ice pass goes to Fox. Fox spins on his backhand, waits it out. Score! Alexei Lafreniere at the doorstep. Fox with the feed. We're tied at 2.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
All right.
I was listening to Rangers radio at the point at which they tied the game. That was 3.5 minutes into the third period. And the woohoo caught my attention on Panthers and Rangers radio. So there are a couple of quality chances through that third period, but both Sergei Bobrovsky and Igor Shesterkin were up to the challenge. They keep it tied. They go into overtime. And even before we play the game winner, there's obviously a sequence that led to this quality scoring chance for what is the best power play scorer in the NHL in Sam Reinhart. There was a turnover by the Rangers, which led to a breakaway by Alexander Barkov of the Panthers. And the Rangers in that moment felt like, well, you either give up a goal because it was a breakaway, it was a one-on-one with Shesterkin, or you commit the penalty and take your chances on the penalty kill, which is what the Rangers chose to do. But didn't take long, not even 2 minutes into OT.
Reinhart back out to Verhaeghe across Montour. Kachuk right side, half board, down to the line. Montour down low, Barkov in front. Reinhart a shot, and he scores! The overtime winner here in game 4, and this series is tied! Sam Reinhart from right out in front on the power play!
Confidence was good. I mean, we've been going a little bit quicker, at a higher pace. Faster pace the last couple, so the confidence is there. You know, it was good composure.
he's open. Obviously, we want to look for him, and he's in the slot, and just get the puck to him. Obviously, he scored a lot of goals from there and works really hard in the practices shooting from there. So you want to get puck to him, and that's what happened.
It was crisp passing, a little bit like a pinball machine. Boom, 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 and got to what is the best in the NHL. In fact, the numbers bear it out, not just in the regular season where Sam Reinhardt had more power play goals than any other in the league, but he's now had three power play goals for the Panthers in the last two games. However, the Rangers won in sudden death games two and three. This in game four, another sudden death overtime that goes to the Panthers. So they'll head back to Madison Square Garden in New York for game five, the all-important, crucial, critical game five in a tie series. And kind of fun to see the way they do battle. 23 years since there were three consecutive overtime games in the conference finals. So we haven't seen this type of drama in quite a while. But yeah, you can imagine how Mika Zibanejad feels. He turns that puck over, leads to the penalty, and the power play is exactly what the Panthers needed to even this Eastern Conference Finals. Halfway through our hump show, thanks for joining us. Middle show of the work week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians is now streaming on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Instacart shopper thoughts.
How do they know exactly when this milk will expire? Does a milk sommelier take a sip and just like, no? Am I knocking on this melon to check its freshness or because I want to play the bongos? A little of both. Does bagging groceries teach you patience? Yes. Planning? Yep. How to build a cereal box fortress? You have no idea.
Download the Instacart app and we'll overthink shopping for you.